Now, Marianne, why did you leave Jimmy Swaggart Ministries?
Well, I left. The last Sunday I was there was Easter Sunday. I walked out, and I knew I would never set foot in there again, and I felt a complete freedom and a release like I've never known before. I've never seen in all of my life so much corruption, hypocrisy, lawlessness, arrogance and indifference and mistreatment of people, just an indifference towards the hurting and the needy, and just there's so much I can't even put it in, and that's, you know, it's I could go on for unending to tell you the unbelievable things I've seen, witnessed, heard. There's a great deal of something rotten growing here, and it cannot all hide under a rug. It's all just too many scandals and things that are currently occurring that I cannot, in order to stay there, I would have to completely throw out all of my common sense, the Word of God, my basic human decency that I was raised with. I just couldn't stay there and sleep at night.
Yeah. Now, what, as far as what kind of abuse, now, was there spiritual abuse there against, especially the people that were working in the ministry?
Yes, it's funny. I came and began in the church. My children began at Crossfire. I also put my children at their school. Immediately, just out of the woodwork, many, many people would come to me that I really didn't even know, and they began to tell me painful, painful stories of being just so mistreated by the people that are running this ministry. And I really, it was burning my ears. I thought, you know, why are so many people coming to me and telling me these horrible stories? Because I don't want to hear this. I wanted to be at this ministry. I wanted my children to be there. I wanted to, you know, just really feed from the Word and get ministered to. I hadn't had a church in a long time. So I'm being assaulted by these terrible stories that really, you know, I couldn't turn away and ignore them, because these people, I could tell their spirits were so broken and so destroyed. And I began to see, really, there's a huge population of just ravaged people that this ministry has just destroyed around here. I don't know really how many people they've brought to the Lord salvation-wise. I can't see that. I can't ever see the results of that, of the money I've given towards that. All I see around here is dead and rotting carnage. And people that they've just abused, and I don't see the lifestyle living, and I don't see the fruit that should be growing out of a properly preached message at all.
Yes, yes. So, do they have an apartment complex there where people that work for the ministry, they actually live there?
Yes, they have, they call it the Towers. They have dormitories where the Bible college students live, and they also have another half of it where people in the community also can rent apartments. So,
oh, I see. So it's not just for the staff.
Right. Really, I don't know that any staff really live there. Some do, yes, but mostly, you know, Bible college students, they would use it in the summers for their youth camp, for the kids to stay in there during the summer.
Yeah.
And but yeah,
so has the Bible college made a comeback of sorts? Do they still have a thriving Bible college there?
In my personal opinion, I moved here for one of the main reasons. I felt that I wanted to go to their Bible college, and the Lord stopped me. The Lord absolutely stopped me from going, and I didn't understand why, but I began to see a fruit coming out of the Bible college that shocked me, and I don't think so. I don't think there's that many students, and the ones that I'm seeing, I'm not seeing any holiness, right living. I don't see what I came for. I don't see that message of the cross that hates sin and is willing to sacrifice and you know, live like the apostles and go into the dark places to get the gospel to the hurting. You know, well, I'm not saying there's some students that are doing that and that have that call, but for the most part, I'm not seeing that. I see a lot of the opposite, and I don't see it corrected or changed. I see it thriving.
Yes. Yeah, so I know that Karen had some pictures that were taken of Gabriel Swaggart, who is Donnie's son, and he's the youth pastor there, and of his wife and a few girls at a party, and holding a wine bottle and giving these funny hand signals that somebody told me were gang signals. I don't know. Marianne, did you see that photograph?
Yes, I did. A media church member who lives in another state, who is a very hardworking single mother who gives what she can to this ministry when she can and she supports it. She had sent that to me. It was on somebody's Facebook, and she had sent that to me, and it just broke her heart because these people are paid their salary by my tithes and offerings and the donations of people. And in good faith, I'm thinking that these are godly people who have a heart to minister and live right and, you know, lift up the name of Jesus. But this is really in actually the lifestyle and the way that they, you know, and they may say this is just a joke, we're just kidding around, you know, lighten up. But this is really, to be honest with you,
it's not a joke when somebody can have access to the pictures, a non-saved person. We have another caller here, and I'm going to take this call and see what they have to say. Oh, the caller left anyway.
Actually, Susan, that picture was taken in a bar in New Orleans. It was in a bar.
Yeah.
I just want people
and if
to
anybody
know
wants
that. It just
to
wasn't
see
a picture taken at home clowning
Karen,
around.
Karen, do you have the link on your website to that photograph?
I believe I do.
Okay. There is a...
I can't remember which article it's in.
Okay. If you go to the Liberty Advocate, and Karen has a whole series of articles there. Now, the person in the chat room is saying, no, it wasn't. But, yes, I saw the photograph, and, yes, it was taken in a bar. And it is Gabriel Swaggart's wife. There's about five girls in this photograph. I was quite shocked when I saw it, too. It was taken at Ruffin's Restaurant in Baton Rouge. Well,
In the bar.
It was in the bar. Okay, they're holding a wine bottle.
Susan, this is a particular photograph that I came to speak with Gabriel Swaggart about that my friend had sent me. At the last of the school year, I came to him with two grievances about his people that he has on the stage singing and ministering, and this was one of the pictures that I showed him. And he said that he shook his head. He seemed very embarrassed, and he said, this was taken at Ruffino's here in Baton Rouge. The girls were just kidding around, blah, blah, blah. And I said, so do my tithes and offering pay these girls' salary to sing and stand on your stage and minister? And he said, yes. And I said, what a shame. I'm so embarrassed.
Well, I mean, he should have been embarrassed because I thought it was – I felt the same way. It's like, okay, when we're in ministry, yes, we all know we're human beings and none of us are perfect. But when we're in ministry, we're supposed to be giving a testimony when we go out in public, especially somebody that's as well-known as the Swaggarts. And then you're in a restaurant, and you're holding a wine bottle, and you're giving gang signals. And
the way you're dressed.
And you're dressed immodestly. So, I mean, what kind of a testimony is that? That's not a good testimony in the first place. So if you're going to have that kind of a party, have it at somebody's house in a closed room, not out in public when other people are observing you, and they're saying, well, that's a Christian. That's how a Christian lives. So what? Why would I want to be a Christian and act like that? It's not a good testimony. It's not a good testimony. I don't care if it was a bar or a restaurant or whatever.
Right.
It was a public establishment
where
everybody could see it.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying. There's people out there that have a problem with alcohol. There's people that and then they see a minister of the gospel out in public behaving like that, and they say, well, then why should I quit drinking? I've seen that myself.
Right. Right.
In a church that I attended where the pastor was out at a wedding in public and he was drinking. And some of the people came to me from the church and they said, well, Susan, why should we have to give up alcohol? We're alcoholics. Why should we have to give up alcohol when the pastor drinks?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, that was a good statement, because why should we cause our brother to stumble? We're not supposed to do things that are going to cause people to stumble. Especially if we're representing Jesus Christ, you have an international ministry, you have a worldwide ministry, and you're behaving like that. I thought the photograph was terrible. I mean, I was very, very sad to see it, because I just thought it was totally unnecessary to do it. So
it was not just a disgrace to the Swaggerts. It was a disgrace to the body of Christ.
No, it was a disgrace to the body of Christ. I feel the same way. Anybody
yeah.
that wants to
I mean,
see
all
the photograph,
like
you can
all
see
of
it.
Who claim to be believers.
And,
well, may I just say something, Susan?
Yeah.
I will tell you the most painful, shocking thing upon moving to Baton Rouge and coming here with just such a hunger and a panting after the truth and after the Word of God. The people in this community are so tainted and stained by what Brother Swaggart has done in the past. And not only that, his continued behavior that they know very well. He can't hide it from them. He can hide it from in the cameras to the people all across America. But the people here know very well. And the disdain and the treatment I personally have received from people I have met here when I told them I moved here to go to Jimmy Swaggart's church and the Bible college and just different things. The people, there's a hostility that is so unbelievable. And at that time, I was so hurt, and I didn't understand why they couldn't, you know, just forgive. And he's repented. Go on. And as I
yeah.
begin to live here and see the hypocrisy, and it is not just a one-time picture. This is a thumbing your nose lifestyle that everyone
yes.
in town and in this area knows this is how they live and they behave, and they don't care. They are
no.
proud of it. There's no shame.
Well, that's what
and
I saw when I saw
ashamed.
The photograph. It was like, yeah, we thumb our nose. We don't care.
No.
You know, we're rich.
There's
we're
no
famous.
Brokenness
we have,
over
we have everything we want. So we preach the gospel. It comes out of our mouth, but we don't have to live it. So
Right. This
and,
is where I'm completely tainted. I'm busy trying to wash my hands of the stain of this ministry off of my own credibility and witness to the people I've lived around in this area for the last 2 years, and try to make some semblance of what is actually going on. That is, and even pagans and heathens know better. They know what's right
sure.
and wrong.
That's the truth. Now that is the truth, because we see. When you look at what they call Christian television, which is far from Christian anymore, and all you see are these money changers there, and it's an embarrassment to the body of Christ. It's an embarrassment to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came to earth. He died on a cross for people, and we've been born again. We know what our life was like before Jesus, and we're born again, and we're supposed to lay down our life for people. And we see that it's just become a business where they get rich, they get famous, and then they forget why in the world they're preaching the gospel in the first place. Why are they preaching the gospel? Why isn't Jimmy Swaggart Ministries there in Baton Rouge making a statement for the gospel of Jesus Christ, caring for the
exactly.
homeless, caring for the hungry, caring for the widow, caring for the orphan? Instead of worrying about buying airtime, it's nothing for them to raise $2 million in 2 days. For what? For television time? When there's people in Baton Rouge that have tremendous needs, and they could just imagine how many people they could really be winning to the Lord if they said, okay, we're going to take this $2 million and we're going to go down and we're going to build some apartments, low-cost apartments for people, or we're going to feed people. Or we're going to really do something that's going to help people instead of acting like a bunch of hypocrites.
Well,
and I'm saying this because I'm telling you, I love Brother Swagger. And I'm sure, Marianne, when you went there, you had a love in your heart for him.
Absolutely.
Because we know that he knows the Word of God. He knows better. That man knows. He read his Bible. You can tell by the way he talks, and I'm sure that you heard sermons. You heard some good sermons there.
Absolutely, yes.
Well,
and,
Susan, instead of having the people send their own money in, I would tell
use their own money.
Use their own money, and plus
there
are so many people who can barely live on their income, especially nowadays. And
yes.
They send their money to the swaggards, and they go without food and utilities or gas. I know of older people who send their money that they can't afford to, and then they have to ask a family member, hey, can you get us some fuel for the winter?
Yes.
Winter, and they don't know the swaggards are living in a big mansion, driving big fancy cars, and going to Vegas. I mean, the story is, I don't know if this is true, that they love to go to Vegas. And first of all, I want to know, what are they doing in Vegas, Sin City? You know, if
yeah.
that's really true, why are Christians going to Vegas? Especially
yeah.
a minister like that. Well, we know what Vegas is mainly known for. You know, I don't need to tell you, it's not a place, it's, well, prostitution, you know. And
yeah.
so why would Jimmy Swaggart put himself in a situation like that where he would be tempted? But anyway, they're living high where these poor, dear folks are sending their money and doing without. It's
yes.
heartbreaking.